Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And this week we're going to take a look at something put out by NCAA Softball Umpiring Home Plate. It's called Extra Inning Insights. This is from November 2024, so still pretty recent, but this is edition 11. So we're going to talk about some of the things that they are communicating to umpires as things you want to think about as we're in the offseason and now as we're getting ready to start seasons.
Yeah, quoting directly from the home plate, "Now that fall scrimmages are done and the offseason is upon us, take some time to process what your upcoming goals are for 2025 season. Writing down your goals is a huge step and makes them real. Aim to take action toward these goals each week." We've talked about, you know, how do I improve as an umpire? And there's some really good information in here. So Pete and I wanted to share this with our listeners. For some of you that don't, maybe you read it in November and forgot.
Yeah.
Or
you didn't get this. Or
the NCAA.
Yeah. And this is, most of this is applicable across, maybe you don't do NCAA umpiring and you're like, well, I'll tune this episode out. No, this is true if you're an NFHS umpire, you're a USA umpire, you just do rec or middle school, whatever you got going on, this would be good for you. So take time to jot down three goals. Just like every game you go into, there should be something you're kind of working on. Going into the season, you should have some big goals for this season. And then the things to think about for those goals are they achievable and realistic for you? For example, you might want to work more games or even more difficult games. Maybe you want to be a crew chief for a conference. Is it your goal to work the conference tournament this year? Whatever your goals are, they're only going to happen if you take action. So even some of those goals listed, it may not be reasonable to say, okay, I'm a second year umpire. It's my goal to work home plate of the state finals in Ohio this year for high school. You're probably not.
Yeah.
Not impossible, I suppose, but it's not likely. So
yeah, the plate's not likely for sure. We've had some umpires go pretty quick to the state.
Yeah.
You know, it's four person at the state. So had some umpires go pretty quick to get second base or something like that. But getting the plate, probably not.
Yeah. Right. So make them realistic. So the rules of goal setting are true here as well. SMART goals, are they specific? Are they measurable? Are they achievable? I forget what the R is. T is time bound, and R is not realistic, is it? Because that would be achievable. I don't know.
I don't remember.
We gotta look it up. Measurable, achievable, relevant. That was not really relevant. Yeah, so there you go. So specific, measurable, achievable, relevant. Ensure your goal is important to you, and then you'll stay motivated. Time bound. So it has to be relevant to what it is. So don't, if you make the goal irrelevant to specifically umpiring or high school umpiring, like if your goals for the high school season are, I want to work three NC2A games this year. That's not relevant. You know, it's umpire relevant, but it's not federation relevant. So you've kind of just burned a goal for the sake of writing it down. That's not going to help you in the NFHC season at all. You could have, I would like to get promoted. I would like to do this. And your goal could lead to that. So like we said, you want to work deeper into the playoffs this year in high school playoffs. And that may well position you to get better games in the summer, maybe better games, you know, get you looked at more in potential college as those assigners start to think about you and your resume. You know, I worked a state tournament. I did this. I did that. That begins to look better for you.
Sure.
But they should still stay relevant. Okay.
Yeah, and I think you want these goals definitely to be things that you are in control of more than anything else. You know,
yeah.
So as we move forward through the extra inning insights, what three action steps for each of the goals, you know, do you need to take to support yourself in these endeavors? So just like anything in business, you know, set the goal, set the action plan. What are they? Boulders, big rocks, little rocks, pebbles, you know, that kind of thing. You come right down to something that I can actually action. Right. Mm-hmm. So I can actually take action against it. So the suggestion here is to give these action steps a time frame. Is it each week? Is it one new rule or AR twice a week? Perhaps go back to look at extra innings 10 and pick two or three of the off-season preparation ideas. You know, and this is about health, fitness, rules, knowledge, you know, those things from 10. How can you commit to each or any of these thoughts? Do you need to spend more time in the offseason getting into the rule book or the case book? Do you need more work on mental focus for those long and very difficult games? And what does that look like? How would you help yourself with mental focus? For me, I can tell you that I'm getting older and my adult attention deficit disorder, self-diagnosed, by the way, is worse. So do you need to make some time to attend and utilize Zoom meetings for your conference? A lot of those are going on right now. So by the time this podcast comes out, it may be a little bit too late for those, but definitely some of those things. So there's a tip here in this section as well that says write some of these action steps on sticky notes and place them on your computer at your desk or in your mirror or other places that you look often. So you write them down and don't forget that you wrote them down. So for me, I can tell you that, you know, I've got some goals, probably share them. Maybe not, that's not on this podcast, but I'll probably share them as I get partway through the season, you know, maybe our next recording session, so that I can report some progress or lack thereof on my goals. But things that are, that I think fit into this very, very well are things about strike zone. You know, make so if it's possible that one of these could be, make sure that you get that pitch at the bottom of the sternum. Make sure you're ringing those up where they go. Make sure that you're always in position to in the right spot to make the right call. And so if you've struggled with something, I'll give an example one. This one may not be one of my goals this year, or it may. But an example one would be working a three-man game, three-person game. You won, and you three chases on a trouble ball into left center field. The play is possibly at second base. You have to get yourself in front of the runner, right? And so on regular two-person, you're going to actually wait on the runner to go past you, and then you're going to cut in to the diamond, not button hooking, but you're going to go inside the diamond to get to that the edge of the bag between second and third. That's on regular two-person, not on three-person that just switched to two-person because you three chased. And so making sure that you're pre-pitch planning to make sure that you understand that stuff, that's a pretty good goal. And then what can I action about that? Well, the actions that I can take for that are to, as I'm driving, run three scenarios in my head that would come to that situation. So let's get a line drive over the shortstop's head. Let's get a long fly ball, maybe just a standard base hit to left center field, but you three chased it, you know, and then let's run those scenarios and think about where I'm supposed to be in each of those scenarios. So kind of getting some mental reps, yeah, if you will, that put yourself in those situations. So that's something that I can action. I think it's a great idea about the post-it notes because, you know, as I get in the car, there's lots of things that I could be doing. I've got business podcasts. Podcasts I listen to. I've got this awesome umpiring fast pitch softball podcast that sometimes I need to catch up on an episode after Pete's done his magic and put it out there. But then there's also, hey, I need to get to work on my professional development in umpiring. So something to remind me of that.
Yeah. So that's, you mentioned the action steps, so what you can do. Once you have those created though, who might be three people that you can reach out and support you? So there's having people that you are held accountable by is important. However, there are some studies that can say sometimes you create a goal and you just tell someone that you've done it can actually be detrimental because you feel like you've accomplished something by like doing that. So there's a whole study of things where it's like, I'm going to do this. And if you tell someone and you just feel like you did something by telling someone, that's bad. What you need to do is you need to find people who are, when it talks about supporting you or everything else, they need to hold you accountable. Because so what that says is, so if David tells me, you know what, one of my goals is I'm going to, you know, positioning everything else. And one of the action items I'm going to take is that I'm going to run through these car scenarios. So that means when I talk to David and we're talking umpiring, I'm going to say, David, how'd you do this week with the scenarios? Did you went to three games this week. How many scenarios did you run? Or when you were out traveling and you're going to the store or whatever, how many scenarios did you run? And you're either going to have to lie to me.
Right.
And so eventually that weight is going to get on you, or you're going to have to tell me the truth and say none, yep, none. And so I'm going to have to go, well, David,
yeah,
are you serious about getting about better as an umpire? What can we do about this? Do you want to run scenarios now or whatever it is that we're going to do? Someone like that who's actually going to hold you accountable and not like pillow hands and just be like, oh, well, you know, David, life is hard. And, you know, we just got a new president and there's a lot to think about. And like, you're busy and life's hard. And no. Let's be adults, and we say we're going to do a thing, and we're going to do it, and someone's going to hold your feet to the fire on that.
Yeah, and because in the insight itself, great quote here, it says, you owe it to yourself, your colleagues, and the student athletes to be the best you can be. That resonates with me. Sometimes I get a little bit sideways with one of our friends who used to be a coach at a pretty high-level travel team, and those comments that, it's going to fire me up, and it's going to fire up this group of listeners here too.
But yeah,
umpires are the only ones getting paid out there.
Yep.
Right. And so, of course, that's not true in the NC2A, but in summertime, it's also not true in some of the bigger organizations anymore. But it definitely is something. We are getting paid to do it. It's not the reason that Pete and I umpired.
High school coaches are also paid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True. Yeah. Thank you. Well, some of them.
Yeah.
here in Central Ohio, at least one of them, and sometimes two. But But anyway, so while we are getting paid to do it, that's not enough motivation for me to be good at this. My motivation is that the student athletes deserve it. So a fair contest, making sure that they're able to participate in a fair contest that's my ultimate goal. That's the reason that I do it. I enjoy the game. I like watching it. But we actually got involved in it because we saw umpires taking opportunities away from players because the umpires sucked. Being blunt. I didn't say any names, did I?
Nope.
Okay, good.
Is it bad that I thought two or three?
Right away? Like two or three came right to mind? Yeah. So anyway, so for us, so you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your colleagues, and because now crewness is a big thing that's come to me in the last couple of years since I've joined in the NCAA ranks. Crewness is really, really important, and you do owe it to that. Don't leave the plate hanging out to dry, right?
Yeah.
On anything. So you owe it to your colleagues as well. But biggest and best, you owe it to the student athletes to make sure that you're the best that you can be.
Right. That's the most important part. So we kid around about whether, umpires and whatever, as coaches, you have certain opinions of umpires than you do as a spectator, or as you do a participant, whatever else. But the point is too, the same thing that I know a lot of our fellow umpires want to say to the people in the stands is, you want to complain about this, put on a uniform and come out and do it. And so we did that. So it's right. If we feel like we want to make the game better, we both said, well, what we're going to do is that we are going to go out there and be the umpires that we wish we had for our players as they played. And so that's what we're doing. And so that's the motivation for it. It's we care about the sport. We care about the participants in the sport. We want them to have a great experience for as long as they're doing it. We want them to take the life lessons that we know playing sports can give you. There's health benefits. There's, there's things you can learn, about teamwork, about overcoming adversity, all the things that we all know sports do. And by us doing our job well, we allow those things to happen without hindrance. And so that's important. And so that's, you can't make it, like you said, about the money. You can't make it about that. And that's right. That's kind of thing that fires us up about what the person said.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. Not to mention the fact that until you get into, some of the big NCAA world, or, unless you're making this out to be your career. And I have a couple of good umpire friends that do that, right? They travel all over the country and mm-hmm. they umpire constantly and have made a career out of it. But unless you're at those levels, it's enough to cover your equipment and maybe your gas.
Right.
It's not a lot of money. So
yeah,
it's really tough. You got to work hard. You got to work hard a lot, and you got to work higher sanctions to get real money for sure. So, all right. And finally, from the newsletter, think about obstacles that might occur as you try to achieve these goals. What might those obstacles be? How do you confront them head on and not allow them to become excuses? Yep. When Pete says, hey, how many scenarios did you run this week? And I have to say zero, but it's okay because I had this and this and this. No, that's not okay because you had this, this, and this. That's an obstacle. Those things, the this, this, this is, those are the obstacles. Figure out a way to get rid of those. How do you adjust your mindset? And that's what it really comes down to. So I love that this is in here. And the end results so that those obstacles become stepping stones. My business partner, Scott, often says that it's about priorities.
Right.
The obstacles become nothing more than priorities. So I just put a lower, if I didn't do my three, things, I assigned them and then operated with them being lower priorities than the things that I'm calling obstacles.
Yeah.
And you can almost always reprioritize and find space.
Because
if I needed 90 seconds to run one of those scenarios, I really couldn't find 90 seconds.
Right. No, and if you think about it, just think about things that are real priorities. You take reductio ad absurdum sometimes when you're considering ideas. And so the idea of saying, if you were choking or like somehow being robbed of oxygen, taking your next breath would become highest priority and you would do whatever it took to take the next breath. So if you were starving, you might do whatever it takes, which includes stealing food or eating stuff out of the trash. Things that you would not normally do, you would do because your highest priority is, I need to eat something. I need a drink of water. I need whatever it is to keep living, right? So those are kind of, it's a ridiculous, where you're comparing umpiring to starving. No, but the point is though, if it is a high enough priority, you will do whatever it takes. So if becoming a better umpire, if your goal, whatever that is, in order to become a better umpire is important enough, it's going to be more important than catching the NFC championship game. It's going to be more important.
Let's not get crazy.
It's going to be more important than going and having beers with your friends maybe tonight, or for the third time this week. Or it's going to be more important than keeping up with the latest episode of a sitcom with your wife or whatever it is, right? And you could prioritize umpiring over family relationships. I wouldn't recommend it, but people will do it. And so that's where you have to put things in the right priority, and then you have to address them according to their priority.
And yeah, so, I think there's some really good advice in here too. Some other thoughts to ponder here in the last paragraph. It says, what does achieving these goals mean to you? Mm-hmm. How will you be different if these goals are achieved? And when will you reassess them? But so those first two things, it's we can often lose sight. You know, if we sit down and say, hey, here's my three goals, here's my action items and that kind of thing, and I have every intention of doing them, and they get those low priorities and they start to go away, just think about what achieving the goals actually means to you.
Right.
You know, so if it's, I want to lose 50 pounds before Casey's wedding, you know, and so I've put some action items in place. Here's some of the steps that I'm taking. And if I forget that and I just go have wings and rings, you know, with my buddy and a couple of frosty beverages, not to say that that's going to happen.
I was saying, are you asking me to hold you accountable at wings and rings later?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
I'll slap the wing right in your hand.
Diet starts tomorrow. Right. But no, but what does achieving those goals mean to you? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about, you know, what kind of shape I want to be in for Casey's wedding, for Casey and her wedding, right? I want to, I'm going to be in those pictures, and those pictures will be around forever. And what do I want to look like in those pictures? And then also, what does that do to my umpiring career, et cetera, right? So right. What does achieving those goals mean to me? Man, it's a big deal, right? And if I start to concentrate, or if I start to think that I'm losing focus on those, and then I'm able to concentrate on what those achievement of those goals means, and I can get right back to reprioritizing and put them right back up to the top of the pile.
It's very similar to how marketing works. And if you want to successfully sell a product, you don't sell the fact that the car is, it drives 0 to 60 in this fast, or does this or does that. You tell the story of this car will make you popular. People will look at you. This car, if it's safety features, this car will protect your family in a crash. You know, you think about your loved ones, and do you love your loved ones? Do you want a crash to take them away? No, you want the side airbags. You don't care about what it is. You care about the fact the car makes you safe. So in this case, focusing on the result is not, do I care if David runs a scenario in his car? No, I don't care about the scenario running. I care about the fact that doing the mental reps from preparation will make you more prepared in the field, which will make you a better umpire, putting better product in the field, which will get you promoted, which will get you to where you want to be, so that you're working the things. It's going to make you feel better about yourself, and you're going to be where you want to be as far as those goals. And that's what I care about.
Yeah. And putting a good product on the field for the girls.
Yeah.
For sure. So I think that's what we have for this episode.
Yeah. That wraps it up. And that's it for this time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.